Hi, welcome to the Pint-Sized Beer Podcast.
I think it should be Pint-Sized Podcast.
Okay. Hi, welcome to the Pint-Sized Podcast.
We're so excited to be starting this adventure with all of you, so let's get started.
We're a couple, and a couple of beer lovers. I'm Gilly. I'm a sound designer and audio engineer. I originally hail from the East Coast. I forgot to include a fun fact, but I'm also pint-sized.
And I'm Julian. I'm a lighting designer and programmer, originally from Davis, California. Go Blue Devils. Fun fact, I can actually open a beer bottle with almost anything. You know, if this shit takes off, then maybe I'll make a little YouTube series out of it.
Cool. So we're avid beer enthusiasts, always on the hunt for new cool breweries to check out locally while traveling, or, you know, traveling to breweries as well.
And we've tried our hand at home brewing.
So our interests were further encouraged when a good friend of mine gave me a beer making kit for Christmas, and we actually got to make our own lager.
Before we embarked on making our own beer, I've had a little bit of home experience with home brewing, assisting my friend Alex, who's an avid home brewer out in Ohio, and we're hopefully going to be talking to him on a later episode all about home brewing.
So yeah, Alex, Jen, you don't know each other, but this podcast is pretty much all your fault. while it's all well and good to simply just drink the stuff, we started getting curious about the other sides of beer. History, science, you know, the culture behind the six pack.
And before we get down to the nitty gritty individual topics, we wanted to do a quick pilot episode. We have so many awesome ideas about where this podcast could go and what we could do with it. And we want to share them with you. And we'd also love to hear if you guys have any ideas of your own that you might want to hear on the show. And maybe we can find somebody cool to talk about them who actually knows what the fuck they're talking about instead of our two unqualified asses.
You can follow us on Instagram at pintsizedpodcast, or you can email us at pintsizedpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, so with that whole intro out of the way, let's get started.
Don't get beer on the mic.
Gilly, what are you drinking?
I'm about to drink. It's from Common Space Brewery. It's a double IPA called Random and Dangerous. Side note, I discovered after opening the can that the alcohol volume is 8.5%. So we'll see how drunk I am in a few minutes.
And I am going to be drinking something called All Your Oat from Eagle Rock Brewery. It is one of their newer hazy IPAs, and it's in a big old can, and it's 8.0 alcohol by volume, so this podcast might get fun.
We have nowhere to go.
Cheers. Self-quarantine.
Yeah, drink your beer, wash your hands.
Okay, so on with the episode.
Webster Dictionary defines beer as an alcoholic beverage usually made from malted cereal grain, you know, barley, flavored with hops and brewed by slow fermentation.
Boring.
Oh. Well,
so what is beer, really? Beer is one of the oldest and most widely consumed alcoholic drinks in the world. Also, it is the third most popular drink overall after water and tea.
Oh, wait, I find that really interesting because I thought coffee would be in there too.
Yeah, that is interesting. And if any of our listeners happen to know where coffee ranks, we could definitely just Google it, but it's more interesting for you to email us. So it's a beverage that brings people together, splits them apart. Gilly is going to give us just a little taster of beer's story through time and a few interesting stories of some beer-related incidents.
So here's your flight of beer history. Brewing has taken place since the 6th millennium BCE and has records of originating in ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia. Brewing beer has been a major part of Western economics since the 19th century. It created jobs, it incited riots.
And it still today helps crowds of people sing Sweet Caroline and Come on Eileen. Yeah.
In many ancient civilizations, beer was used as a form of currency to pay laborers. Beer was considered to have complete nutrition, so those workers would often use the beer they were paid to sustain their families. Side note, employers, not okay today. paying your employees in beer is pretty cool, but money kind of gets you further.
Yeah, that maybe, helps you to buy the beer.
Yeah, maybe also buy your employees beer.
Because we know that, like, employers would totally just give you, like, a 12-pack of, like, Bud Light. They wouldn't give you anything good.
I will give out audio advice for beer. Yeah, that happens.
That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the history bit. Battles and wars have been fought, won, and lost over beer. So, you know, stand back, Helen of Troy.
Whoa.
In 1380, Rokla, Poland, there was a beer war. I'll give the quick rundown of it. In Bohemian Rokla, the city council brewed beer underneath the town hall. They were called the Rata. In this beer cellar, the city purveyed a popular local brand of beer from the nearby town of Świdnica.
We're butchering these names, yeah. And it's okay. I apologize to any Polish listeners.
I apologize to all of you. Sure. Yeah, it's fun to try. Okay, but by 1380, some Rocklosters had started to ditch Świdnica beer for brews made by monks from the nearby island. This monastery was overseen by the Bishop of Wenceslaus II of Legnica, who allowed the monks to brew beer as they pleased, regardless of the jurisdiction of the nearby town. There are so many more details to this story, so consider this a teaser trailer for a future episode.
So our next story that Gilly's going to talk about takes us over to Russia during the time of Genghis Khan and the Mongol hordes. Fun fact. At this point, even though this story is about Russia, and we all associate Russia with vodka, it wasn't the massively popular beverage of choice that it is today in modern Russia. What we think of as vodka didn't actually become available in Russia until sometime around the late 14th century, which is when this story takes place. At that point, more normal Russians were drinking things like mead, beer, and kvass.
I have a question. Sorry, we didn't plan this, but what is kvass?
Kvass it's very similar to beer, and kind of similar to prison wine. Essentially, you take a bunch of things like bread or fruit or anything essentially that has starch or sugar in it, and you let it ferment. It is kind of a wild fermentation. It is still actually something that a lot of Eastern European countries drink today. It usually has a lot less alcohol than beer.
Lame.
Yeah, you know. But it is known as kind of, I think we actually might do an episode on kvass because there's some really crazy cool stories about it. But essentially it is a somewhat popular still today beverage in Russia.
That's really cool. In that episode, we should also cover like mead and variants of beer.
I think this is a great idea.
Cool.
All right. So after that little tangent, we're going to set our time circuits to on. We're going to get the flux capacitor fluxing, and we're going to send Gilly back to the Russian Empire of 1380.
Oh my god. Okay. So, I'm in Russia. Hello. Russian soldiers versus the Mongol Blue Horde.
I am Russian soldier.
I'm the Blue Horde?
Yes.
Hi. The Piana River in Russia was named after a battle between the Mongol Blue Horde and Russian soldiers in 1380. Lots happening with beer in 1380, it seems. The Russian army may or may not have been drunk during this battle, hence the name of the Piana River, literally translating to drunken from the Russian language. Again, much more to that bit, but consider this a teaser for a longer episode or two of the history of beer. We really built that up, but we built it up for, you know, next time.
But, like, this whole may or may not have been drunk, like, if they weren't drunk, then why may have they... They were drunk. They were totally drunk. They were wasted. They lost this thing. And now they have a river called the Drunk River. Awesome stuff.
Pretty much. So, what was up with beer in 1380s? Was it that good?
I mean, it must have been. We're gonna have to do some more research on that. But before we do that, we're going to kind of get to the meat and potatoes of this episode. We figured there's no point in making a podcast that's going to deal with beer and how it relates to all of us as humans without going over how the hell do you make beer. So many of us drink it. Some of us understand some of it. Others of us maybe understand a little bit more. but by far, pretty much everybody that's going to be listening to this episode is probably not a beer expert. So we figured we would kind of do super broad stroke, you know, beer making process, just so that sometimes when we get into the more technical stuff in later episodes, you have an idea of what's going on. And, you know, the more you know. So with this, with the process that we're about to talk about, there's going to be some differences in between a commercial setup, a, you know, massive, you know, Coors brewing versus somebody doing this in their house versus a local microbrewery down the street. At the end of the day, obviously the equipment's going to be different, but the processes are all pretty much the same. So let's just go for it. In its simplest form, beer's four ingredients. This really hasn't changed that much since people started making this stuff thousands of years ago. Obviously, techniques have changed, people have gotten maybe better at doing it, but for the most part, it is water, yeast, grain, and hops. But, you know, if it were as simple as throwing those four ingredients in the pot, you know, everybody would be just drinking the same thing, and there'd be no point in us having a podcast. So, Gilly, how does it work?
The first ingredient is really easy and really common. Water. You need some sort of solution for this chemistry to happen, so we use delicious, nutritious, hydrolicious water, which I'm also double fisting with my beer today.
Yeah! Wash your hands, drink lots of water.
Yeah. The big magic trick comes from the yeast.
Yeast! Sorry, I was drinking my beer. Yeast is an awesome little creature that eats sugar. And in return for us giving it this sugar, it farts out alcohol and carbon dioxide, similar to how when you give your dog a hot dog, it farts out a little bit of happiness for you.
I don't know if it's exactly like that.
Well, you know,
dog fart.
They don't all land.
Oh my God.
Anyway, yeast is everywhere. It exists in nature all around the world. It's existed for hundreds of millions of years. Like, this shit is old as dinosaurs, yo. There are over 1,500 recognized species of yeast out in the world. Right?
I have no idea.
And the crazy thing about it is, like, scientists haven't even discovered all of them. Like, I was actually talking with a friend of ours a couple days ago, and we were talking about sourdough bread, and she was talking about how she used to live in Tennessee, and she left this sourdough starter outside in Tennessee, and, you know, it just took the wild yeast straight out of this woodland area that she lived in. And she was like, well, it could be a new strain, so I'm going to call it, you know, I'm gonna give it its own little fun name, which I can't remember right now, but that's not the point of the podcast. But yeah, so super cool. With that said, there is one specific species that we're going to focus on, probably for almost this entire episode. Then that's the one that's used in fermentation. It's called Saccharomyces cerevisiae, and it is used for baking bread, making wine. Apparently, I didn't know this, but they use it a lot for research in cell biology, and of course, more important to this podcast, for brewing beer. Obviously, there's a ton of... You can hear our producer, Larry, in the background. He's very upset that we're kind of going over time, I think. Oh, yeah, he just needed cuddles from my co-host. So we know that yeast can make alcohol, but in order to do that, it obviously needs its food. It needs sugar. So where is it going to get the sugar?
From malt. So malt is just grains, but they're grains that have been dried, steeped, germinated, and dried again. The grain is initially dried to pull out as much moisture as possible. This is in order to preserve the grains and prevent rotting before the malting process can be executed. Then, they take the dried grains and steep them. Steeping is when the grains are immersed in warm water inside a humid environment in order to get them to begin to grow again. This part is really important.
So, the next step is steeping. Steeping allows the grain to begin to sprout, resulting in germination. Germination means that the grain is essentially beginning to grow again and make new plants. So once that grain is germinated, essentially, like, if you look at it, if you watch videos of this, there's tons of them online, and it's actually, if you're a huge nerd like me, really interesting, is you'll watch this kind of this big, like, tank of kind of brownish-gray grains, over the course of a couple days, they'll all start sprouting, you know, little green stems out of them, and that whole tank turns kind of like this green color, because little baby plants are growing out of them. But of course, they can't keep growing before they send all of this stuff off to the brewery to get made into beer. So they have to re-dry that grain to stop the growing process. They essentially want just a little bit of it to grow, because that's how the enzymes that are actually in that little seed break down and become starches. And for what we're talking about today, starch and sugar are the same thing. We're getting our sugar from the starch in these grains.
That brings us to our final component, hops. Y'all know what hops are. Hops are the flower of a plant of species known as Humulus lupulus. Some people describe hops as piney or grassy or resinous.
Resinous, bro.
There are tons of different types of hops, all with their own unique taste. Hops are primarily used for their flavoring attributes in the beer. They balance the sweetness that the sugary malt brings to the party. Also, hops are used specifically for their antibacterial properties. They help protect the freshly born beer during the fermentation process from all sorts of gnarly bacteria, and they protect the baby beer from spoilage.
You gotta protect a baby beer from the gnarly bacteria.
Oh, okay. History moment for hops. The first documented hop cultivation was in 736 in the Hallertau region of present-day Germany.
Old as fuck. Another fun fact. There is a ton of conjecture over whether or not our favorite recreational drug and hops are related. Let's just say the jury is still out on this. I can guarantee you that we will do an in-depth dive on this in a future episode. 420 blaze it, y'all!
Oh my god. What happens once we've got our ingredients assembled?
So, in order for us to get the sugars and the yummy flavors out of this malted grain, we've got to get all those little grain babies into a pot of water, usually around 170 degrees Fahrenheit, to actually extract them. It's the same process that happens when you make tea. If your water is too cold, you're not going to get the flavor into the water. If your water is too hot, sometimes the tea tastes a little weird. It's all about the length of time that you extract those flavors, as well as the temperature. And that's how you get a really good tasting beer, or sometimes a really bad tasting beer if you fuck it up. Once we've extracted all the yeast noms, this mixture is called a wart. Not like a finger wart. Not like a genital wart. Wart, W-O-R-T. Then, with that wart, we crank the heat up and get it boiling. While it's boiling, that not only sterilizes the wart from anything that might have been on the outside of the grains, you know, or anything that kind of got in with them, but it allows us to add the hops. The hops need a higher temperature, essentially, to pull out the piney, resinous flavors from them. If you were to try a small sample of this wort before the hopping process, it would kind of taste, I think it kind of tastes like sweet oatmeal water, or like, it's very like, it's like sweet honey grains all mixed together. It isn't bad, but I wouldn't drink it. So anyway, we're going to throw those hops in. We're going to get those resinous flavors in there. And then we're off to our final step of the actual brewing process.
Yeast. So, like we said, yeast is a living creature. It's picky, but it's powerful. Just like making bread, you've got to get it active and working before you just throw it into the wort. That stuff is boiling hot right now.
So we cool down the wort to a nice, balmy 70-ish degrees. We get our yeast yeasting, being alive, growing up, doing yeast things, going to yeast college, and then we dump it in.
Now, at this point, you're in for a long wait. The old fermentation wait. Usually about 3 weeks, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. But we'll get into that on a future episode. Our first homebrew took 3 weeks to ferment.
Yeah, and funny story, the directions that came with the kit we got, one part of it said, like, oh, wait 2 weeks. One part said, wait 3 weeks. And so, it ended up taking 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, at this point, after you've waited all this time for this beer, yeah, it's actually beer now. It's no longer wort because it's fermented. It is also chock full of all the delicious yeast farts, otherwise known as alcohol and carbon dioxide. They've done their thing. Ta-da! You've made alcohol. There's other processes that can happen once this part is complete. You know, there's things like you can infuse your beer, you can bottle condition it. There's plenty of other really fancy things that we'll cover in other episodes. But essentially, at that point, you've made beer, you're ready to crack open a cold one with the boys.
Or the ladies, or the they-thems. I will say we did bottle condition our homebrew, and that took probably another 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, we made it through all of that. We wanted to leave you with a few other thoughts, but first, Gilly, how was your frosty beverage?
Still working on it. It's really yummy. One sec. I really like it. It's a double IPA, but it's really easy drinking. Oh, as a reminder, I was drinking Random and Dangerous from Common Space Brewery, and just to promote another local brewery, I'm drinking it out of a Institution Ale Company glass. I really like it, and I don't often do IPAs, but it's really bright, it has a nice level of acidity, and it has that really nice earthiness that IPAs have.
Can I try it?
Yeah.
Oh, tight. Ooh, that's really good. Yeah, get some of that. It's real good. And I've been drinking All Your Oat from Eagle Rock Brewery. I've been drinking it out of my Hop Dogma glass. Hop Dogma is from El Granada, California. Represent Bay Area. What's up? Anyway, I think it's pretty good. It's... Hold on, I need a little more taste to really tell you.
To really evaluate.
It's definitely a hazy IPA. It's got a slightly different taste than a lot of hazies that are... a little more, they almost feel kind of rounder than a regular IPA. They don't have that same sharpness. This one has a pretty heavy kind of bitter aftertaste to it, which is kind of nice because it keeps your palate really kind of, you know, you don't get bogged down with a super cloying aftertaste.
Wait, can I try yours?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Also kind of easy drinking, but really flavorful.
So as we, you know, as we are kind of, you know, we've talked about the beer making process, we've given you a really fast version of the history of beer. We haven't even covered a lot of it, but beer has a crazy history. That is like it's one of our upcoming episodes. So we thought that it would be kind of a fun thing to include in this kind of an in the news segment, if you will. And of course, right now, the one thing that's in the news is the coronavirus.
Yeah, so hopefully we can keep our news section as beer-related as possible, and there happens to be some local shout-outs that we want to give right now. There's a ton of local breweries in Los Angeles who are open for pickups amid the coronavirus crisis. If you don't feel well, stay home. But if you can...
stay home. Yeah.
But if you can and want to pop out for 10 minutes, here are some breweries we gathered from social media that are open.
Bear in mind, we are recording this on March 18th. This whole self-quarantine thing could completely change all of this, so don't take our word for it. If there's one of these near you, give them a call, see if they're open, and pick up a nice tasty restock.
We aren't sponsored by any of these breweries, full disclosure, but we figured we'd just spread the love of beer and try to help out small businesses.
So in North Hollywood, Hop Merchants is open for pickups. They've got tons of fridges of all sorts of different beer. It is Gilly and I's go-to beer shop nearby. Both the beers that we were drinking today, we got from there. In addition to that, one of my favorite spots is Trustworthy Brewing in Burbank. It's open for pickup orders. And the same with Highland Park Brewery over in Highland Park. Also a great spot.
There's some deliveries, which I think is pretty awesome. Modern Times is delivering packs of beer. You have to get, I think, 6 4-packs packs at a time of the same beer. But you may as well stock up, right? Go to their website to order. Since it's alcohol, you do need to be around to sign for it at the door. But we're all self-isolating, so... I guess
you're
that should be.
Home. Yeah.
Anyway, while you're at it, you can order tasty coffee from there, too. And Common Space LA, the beer, the brewery whose beer I'm drinking today, out of Hawthorne, is one of the few breweries doing deliveries for a small fee. They do have some restrictions on how far they will go, so check their website.
Also, Sun Valley, Lincoln Brewing Company is doing drive-through beer pickup. Tight! McLeod Ales in Van Nuys is open for takeaway pizza and beer. That sounds awesome. Like, I know what we're doing tonight. God damn, I love pizza.
The pizza's so good. Please let us know if you have any other updates on your personal favorite local spots. It's now more than ever important for us to support our local independent brewers and really any and all small businesses. And also please reach out if we definitely butchered some, like, Polish names today. I would appreciate the correction.
Yeah, I think the Los Angeles Polish Society is going to be sending us a hate mail.
We deserve it.
So, anyway, that's a wrap on our first episode.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to our feed. We're planning on trying to release a new episode, like, bi-weekly for now.
So, and if you'd like to contribute, if you'd like to send us hate mail, if you'd like to send us ideas for a future episode.
Or love mail.
Or love mail. Or beer. We'll give you our address if you email us and say, we want to send you beer to try on the show. If you want to contribute, email us at pintsizepodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram @pintsizepodcast. You should also follow us.
Yeah. We hope you'll stick with us as we explore every single thing we can get our hands on in the wide world that is beer, and also as we grow as podcasters. This is literally our first time recording, so I think it's already awesome to those of you who are listening that you are listening. Happy drinking, and
wash your hands!